They didn't have much money, but then Cameron and Jan didn't have high expectations. They made do, moving into a cheap row of duplexes, boxy structures with little character and a shared cement alley for a front yard. Outwardly, Cameron and Janice Hooker were just another hopeful young couple starting a new life together. No one knew what went on behind closed doors. The sadistic experiments continued, becoming even more severe. It was becoming harder for Janice to ignore the possibility that her husband might actually kill her. The first couple of years of marriage, she tried to fulfill her husband's strange fantasies by being ever more submissive to his demands. But when Cameron produced an army surplus gas mask, its eyes and air holes taped over, she balked. The gas mask terrified her, and Cameron had to gag her to keep her from screaming when he fitted it over her head. Cameron's experiments seemed to be getting more violent, more bizarre. Though she was afraid to actually stand up to him and refuse, Jan was no longer so keen on participating. It was too painful. Perhaps Janice's fearfulness made her a less exciting partner, or maybe Cameron was simply growing bored with her. More likely, one person was no longer enough to satisfy his cravings. In any case, Cameron began discussing a fantasy that he'd had for a long time. He wanted to bring a third person into the home, another woman who would submit to his sadomasochistic experiments, a girl who couldn't say no. He told her that this third person would take part in his more demanding practices. It would be easier on Janice, he said, if she would just go along. And finally, she had. While Cameron fussed about the logistics of finding and keeping another woman, Janice worried that this third person would be a threat to their marriage. Despite his darker habits, Jan still felt that she loved Cameron. She'd grown so dependent on him, she could hardly imagine being without him. So while she was relieved by the idea of Cameron focusing the more painful acts, especially the hangings, on someone else, she was insistent that there should be no sexual intercourse between her husband and this other woman. They were man and wife, and as she saw it, true intimacy should be reserved solely to them. It's not clear exactly when or how, but Cameron and Janice reached an understanding. It was a trade-off. He could kidnap someone if she could have someone as well. She wanted a baby. By now, they'd found a more suitable address. It was a small two-bedroom house with yards front and back, hardwood floors, a nice dining room, and a basement. The basement was tiny, but it would do. With boards from the Diamond Lumber Yard, Cameron constructed a wide table, a platform, really, that he dubbed the rack. He affixed eye hooks at each corner so the leather cuffs he made could be easily attached when he wanted to stake out Janice. He put additional hooks and a beam in the ceiling for hanging, and then he built the head box. It was an ingenious contraption built strong and heavy, surprisingly heavy, with those big metal hinges and its dual walls. He had Janice come down to test it, and sure enough, the neck hole was the right size, and it closed as it should. But not everything went according to plan. Though Cameron's preparations were ample and his plans well thought out, finding the right person wasn't so easy. Janice got pregnant and had her baby, a girl, in the fall of 1976. But Cameron still hadn't managed to accomplish his end of the deal. But on May 19, 1977, Cameron Hooker's luck changed. At the end of his shift at Diamond, he came home from work as usual at about 4 o'clock. He picked up his wife and baby, and they went for a drive. They drove around for half an hour or so, and then he saw her.